much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
We talk about buying an island and just everybody who wants to just come and live on the island with their monkeys.
The reason why I like that hotel is because it's a 5-star or 4-star hotel and it's very clean, and then the girls are just so beautiful. 5'8", 5'9".
I think it's okay for men to have feelings that they don't want to express a lot, but that sometimes they do express. I think it's okay.
And now I'm gonna skull rape you. Keep you in a cage in my basement, then dump your corpse behind Walmart.
Our feature presentation.
I'm gonna pass on that generous offer, but thank you so much. Hey, speaking of being skull raped, Muggs, was that a Third Eye Blind song we played right before we came on?
Yeah, that was.
And this the day today is April 15th, 1990 what?
It's 2014.
That doesn't seem possible.
Yeah. I know.
What kind of time travel is happening here?
I don't know.
Lisa, what's going on?
I have no idea.
Well, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday morning. There's a lady named Ellie Rafter who lives in Portland, and she was in the news yesterday. She seems to be, boy, I hate these people that do nothing but write strongly worded letters of complaint. Aren't they annoying, Lisa?
No, oh, they're the worst.
They just sit down and they just fire off their tweets and their texts and their emails. Yeah. They're always complaining about something. And that's what she seems to do. If you look at her Twitter page, it's all sorts of complaints. Here's one from February. I opted out of receiving Yellow Pages 2 years ago, yet found 2 Frontier directories on my porch this morning. What gives? She writes. She complains about upgrades to the Mass Effect video game. She complains about bus service, signs being wrong. Here's one. Red Robin, why the hell don't you carry honey mustard anymore in your Anchorage restaurant? Madness. This is this woman's life.
Okay.
So the reason she's in the news is because she sends a tweet complaining about a plane delay from U.S. Airways. She says, is this the sort of service that I should expect now that you've merged with American Airlines and are part of One World? If so, no thanks. She was on a plane that was delayed getting to its gate. And that was her complaint tweet that she sent to U.S. Airways. She had no idea that what would come back to Ms. Rafter was what is being called the worst tweet in the history of Twitter. U.S. Airways responded to her and included what they suggested was a link where she could go to detail the difficulty she was having with her trip. We take your complaints very seriously. We'd like to hear more about it. Here's the link for you to fill that out.
Okay.
Instead, what they sent was the most pornographic tweet that has ever been sent from a business.
What?
Did you see the picture yesterday?
No.
It's a naked woman laying on her back, legs spread, and a model airplane landing on her, shall we say.
I'm going to copy that.
A model airplane going through a tunnel, actually, is what it is.
Okay.
From U.S. Airways.
How did
this
that
tweet
happen?
Comes back. Well, that picture had been sent from somebody to American Airlines about 30 minutes previously.
Okay.
And it looks like what happened was whoever was running the social media over there at U.S. Airways may have seen it, saved it, maybe had sent it to friends of his. Somehow it was in his, you know, cut and paste on his browser.
Oh.
And he just ended up putting it in a tweet that he sent out to a customer and for all the world to see, where, by the way, it stayed on their page for nearly an hour, some reports say. You can imagine. I mean, it's being called the most epic corporate social media F-up ever. No word, of course, they immediately apologized and said that they were investigating. No word officially yet on whether that person has been fired or not.
Oh, I'm guessing.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
I mean, look, there's not safe for work, and then there's hardcore pornographic, and that's what this was, that U.S. Airways sent out for all to see.
This lady's head must have exploded.
Yes, it was. She had surprisingly very little to say about it, except that the irony was not lost on her that that was their response, because her complaint was what a bad job they were doing. So I think she thought it was amusing that they screwed up the response to it.
Yeah.
But it was a firestorm yesterday, and you can imagine the internet had the most fun with it. And by the way, you can seek out this photo, but I think I've described enough that you know what you're going to get. I mean, it's not safe for work.
I get it.
Yes.
I've never seen an airplane used quite that way. There were a lot of great reactions on Twitter from other people. Amy Schumer, the comedian, said, "Sorry, U.S. Airways. I thought that was a direct message. My bad." Someone named @HeyVeronica. Some people are saying that U.S. Airways was hacked, but it looks like an inside job. There were a lot of those kind of Kyle Ayers tweets. I've always said U.S. Airways had the most legroom.
Nice.
@LaughingStoic. Good luck retrieving that black box. In the Fade writes, right now CNN is on the phone with U.S. Airways. Hey, I heard you found a plane. So it just goes on and on like that. So U.S. Airways, just that's not what you want.
Oh, they're spinning.
It was hilarious.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Bean Show. What do you say?
There's a nice way to say that, and there's the way you just said it.
Doing the best I can here, sir. What's up with Florida is a question we like to ask,
what
and we'll do that again.
What's up with Florida?
Another crazy week from the Sunshine State. You won't believe all the stuff that's coming out of Florida today. Speaking of not safe for work, a young inventor named Brian Sloan joins us on the program right now. He's got an Indiegogo campaign where he is trying to raise money to make available for you to purchase the AutoBlow 2.
I'm sorry, what?
The AutoBlow 2. And that does exactly what you suspect it will do.
So it's not for me.
It's not for you. Okay. Although there may be a lady version. We'll have to ask him about that. It may look like a plane. We're going to talk to Jesse Katz, a very fine writer for Los Angeles Magazine, who made international news with a story that came out yesterday talking about how Yasiel Puig got out of Cuba and all of the sketchy people that you have to deal with if you want to escape from Cuba, and his long trip to the major leagues that may involve a portion of his salary going to Mexican drug cartels.
Forever, right?
Yes, that's a percentage of his earnings for life. Yes, that's how complicated his journey was. I mean, it's just crazy and really just great, great reporting. It's amazing. I mean, it does make you look at what this young man has been through in a totally different light.
Yeah.
So we got that coming up as well. Also, we're going to hook you up with The Neighborhood in the K-Rock Red Bull sound space. They're going to be here a week from today. We've got that for you. Ralph has movie tickets for The Quiet One. And speaking of Ralph, the Showbiz Beat's coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Hey, it's Tuesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Ralph Garman joins us. He's got papers in his hand. This is hot off the press. Late breaking news. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Oh, happy tax day, everybody. Did you get your taxes done?
Damn Woo-hoo! Straight.
Did we get your taxes done?
Yeah.
Everybody's taxes?
Yeah,
taxes?
Yeah.
Taxes?
You know who didn't? Dave.
Oh, I don't have to pay taxes. I don't live in Texas.
Not my fault.
Hope he goes to jail.
Dave's that guy, I think, who's going to be doing him in a McDonald's restaurant at 9 o'clock tonight to take him immediately to the post office afterwards.
It's more important to get sand in my face than to do Texas.
They're done, son.
Oh, good for you,
Whoa!
Dave.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding, they're not.
So you broke into the show to lie?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, something takes a sting out of it. Just want to give you the heads up before we get into show business news. Many restaurants are giving you free food to help your tax day go a little bit easier. Only available today. Here's what you can get. Arby's will give you some free curly fries.
Fantastic.
Cinnabon will give you two free Cinnabon bites.
Fantastic.
From 6 to 8 p.m. The Hard Rock Cafe will give you a free entree if you complete an entire song between 5 and 7 p.m. tonight, live on stage. You have to literally sing for your supper.
Okay.
Buy one Big Mac or Classic Quarter Pounder at McDonald's and get the second one for one penny.
Good deal.
Okay.
Beer Mug's never going to leave. They're going to lose money on him. Taco Bell, you can get Griller's Drinks and Taco Bell Special Sparklers and Freezes for just $1. And Blimpy, you get a second regular sub free when you buy one. So a lot of restaurants trying to take the sting out of tax day for you.
Very nice.
I think so. Miley Cyrus has dumped her new dog. She just got a new puppy.
What do you mean she dumped
it? Named Mooney last weekend. She gave it away. gave Mooney to a friend's mother.
Now, this was the dog. She had a dog die, and then she ran out and got another dog. We discussed it here.
Her mother gave her one.
Like a week later or something, right?
Yes, right. And she said, I can't have a new dog. It's just too soon. It's too soon to have another dog.
Hmm.
So as long as she got it a home.
She gave it away to a friend's mother, who is a coyote, by the way.
So Stop it.
That's not good news
true?
For the puppy. That's
Don't make
all
me
I'm
cry.
Saying. George Clooney.
Yes and yes.
Let's say you're George Clooney. I can't imagine what it's like to be George Clooney, especially this week. They're saying that he is vacationing in Cabo during spring break. Wouldn't that be like locking beer mug inside a Yum Yum Donuts after hours
yes.
and just locking the door and just leaving? When you come back, there's just nothing
awesome.
Left, just carnage.
Yeah, spring break for George Clooney is an all-you-can-eat buffet.
They spotted him enjoying the sun, surf, and sand, playing a game of volleyball on the beach with some co-eds while vacationing in Cabo for spring break.
Love that.
Come on. That's just shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it, George?
Yeah.
Give yourself a challenge. Have we checked on our little friend who is the Cody Simpson fans?
Oh, Leah.
Leah, yeah.
What happened? Oh, is he gone?
Yeah, Cody Simpson was eliminated last night on Dancing with the Stars.
Bean, we should talk to her.
Yeah, we should get a hold of Leah. She's got to be hurting this morning.
I'm afraid for her safety. Hope she's already...
What are they called, by the way? Are they Simpsonites? Is that
are
what they
angels?
Were?
Angels, aren't they the angels?
Yeah, I think
or
angels.
Something?
Yeah.
Or Simpsonians? Or...
They have two different names.
She's going to be very, very sad to see her boy leave.
Iron Eyes Cody's, aren't they called?
I don't think that's it, but... That was it.
That's it. Yeah. Apparently, it was Cody Simpson, NeNe Leakes, and Candace Cameron Bure who were all at the bottom. But at the end, it was Cody Simpson who was eliminated, despite his 6.5 million Twitter followers, who apparently didn't vote because he was on the outs.
Doesn't it seem like, and maybe it's because I don't watch that show, doesn't it seem like a season is 6 months long on Dancing with the Stars?
It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about television news... We were just talking about this show yesterday, and USA Network announced yesterday it picked up a second season of its reality series, Chrisley Knows Best.
How about that?
Yeah. Here's the thing about that show, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. It's unwatchable. Nothing happens with heterosexual millionaire Todd Chrisley and his family being featured on each and every episode. 1.25 million viewers watched the latest episode, a new high.
So what do you think, Ralph? You saw the show. What's the appeal of it?
I couldn't begin to tell you. I'm not kidding. I literally could not begin to tell you on what level anyone would find that entertaining. It's beyond me.
Because at least when nothing happens on the Kardashians, you can go, well, they're celebrities and they're pretty.
Right.
At least you can say that.
Watch.
Right.
It's the most inane
but
reality
this is just,
show I've seen.
Seems like just putting a camera on your neighbor's house where people you don't have any, you're not invested in, you don't care about, they're not doing anything interesting, they don't have any special skills or talents, you're just watching them live a boring life just like yours.
Yep. It's about hiding phones and going to a lake house and just talking about hair and stuff. It's nuts. And yet 1.25 million people watched.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Emma Thompson. How great is she?
The best.
Boy, that Saving Mr. Banks movie. She really impressed me in that film. She impresses me in everything.
But great actress, great writer.
Terrific performance. Great director, too. 55 years old today. Guitarist Ed O'Brien of Radiohead is 46 years old. Patrick Carney, drummer for the Black Keys, is 34. Actor Seth Rogen celebrates his 32nd birthday today. Actress Allison Williams from Girls is 26 years old. All right. Emma Watson is 24 years old. And Maisie Williams. Arya Stark from the Game of Thrones. 17 years old today.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kings of Leon on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Got Naked and Famous on the way. Also Nirvana, Lord, and we'll play some Neighborhood. Don't forget, between 7 and 8 this morning, we're going to hook you up with tickets to join us at the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space to see the Neighborhood 1 week from today. It's going to be next Tuesday afternoon at 5 if you don't win your way in. And by the way, you can not only win them here by calling in on the radio, but going to krock.com to register. Then be sure to listen and watch at 5 o'clock next Tuesday for the Neighborhood. It's Tuesday, and it's time for What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Florida wins again this week, Ralph Garman.
Oh, what do they do now?
What don't they do now? It's unbelievable, the stories that come out of the Sunshine State, including this one. This past Sunday night, a man was set a fire in his apartment. Authorities showed up. They said, hey, what's going on in your place here? And he says, I was trying to get rid of bugs.
Well, that's one way.
He practically burned his apartment to the ground. Police officers said there was trash and empty beer cans covering the majority of the floor in the living area and in the kitchen. The bedroom where most of the fire damage occurred was also filled with trash and cans. My favorite part of the story is the man, whose name has not yet been released, told authorities he started the fire to burn the bugs in his home and computer.
Yeah.
Now,
he's got bugs in his head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Everybody hears about bugs and viruses in your computer. Does he think that you get rid of them with fire? Was he confused as to what bugs we were talking about here?
I think that's the least of this guy's problems.
Well, it could be. Could be so. Here's a guy who I think you will appreciate. He got into a fight and was arrested for assault after fighting with his roommate over toilet paper. 60-year-old Isaiah Bryant arrested for charges of aggravated assault. He and his roommate started arguing about toilet paper in their home in Gainesville, Florida. Bryant grabbed a nearby metal bat, threatening to, quote, bust, end quote, his roommate's, quote, brains out, end quote, according to the report. Now, I would say that if somebody's not replacing the toilet paper in the bathroom, maybe that's a legitimate reason. But if it's just an argument over 2-ply versus 3-ply, then I say you let that slide, don't you?
If it's an argument over or under on how you hang the roll, then I think this guy's justified.
Oh,
because if you're hanging that wall under, if you're letting that roll go under, that's you should get your brains busted out.
It's un-American.
It is un-American.
You just let the terrorist win.
How did you come to the conclusion that under is the way to go versus over? Because I've thought about that dilemma over the years.
Over's the way to go. Over's the way to go. Under. Under's unacceptable.
Why? What's the difference between the two? Because I don't see any difference between the two.
There's an enormous difference between the two.
Under is much less simple.
Yes.
What does over do for you?
Very simple.
Over makes it easier to tear.
Yeah, because you're pulling from the top.
Yeah, because you're pulling to the side from the top. You go from under and you pull it, and the roll just spins, and you have a floor full of toilet paper.
I guess, Bean,
you're not an under, are you?
You're an underer?
I'm a no preference whatsoever to me.
They're an underer.
This is the minutia guy.
I know.
That's why.
I don't care about this.
Possible that you don't care.
I just thought they were equal to me. I never understood what the disagreement was over there. Wow, that is fascinating. So you're saying baseball bat to the head makes sense to you if it was an over-under argument.
If he's hanging the roll and it's coming under, then he should have his brains busted out, as that guy said. Or
wow. Well, I'm hearing from the other room. They're weighing in. Dave and Chip both are with you guys on over, by the way.
It's all over is the only way to go. Absolutely.
Okay. Wow, I've learned a valuable lesson here during this segment today. Thank you for that. An Orlando area man faces prison for attacking his roommate with a butter knife because he mistook the man for Jesus.
Is everybody on drugs?
So he wanted
everybody?
To attack Jesus with a butter knife? He got mistaken?
Apparently so. And this is the strangest thing. This is why Florida is awesome, because not only do you have the guy who burns his apartment down because of computer bugs, this guy thinks his roommate is Jesus, but he doesn't believe in God, and he has petitioned the court to give him a defense attorney who, like him, does not believe in God. He says, I do not want an attorney who is a Christian or somebody who believes in God. I need somebody who thinks like I do to represent me. To which the judge said, look, if you want to pay for your own attorney, you can hire whoever you want. But since you don't have any money and we're giving you one from the state, you're going to get whoever we give you. Why would somebody who doesn't believe in God believe that his roommate is Jesus? And why would he want to attack that man with a butter knife? There are so many questions that need to be answered in this case.
Once again, not nearly enough information for you. Let me help you out. He's crazy. There you go.
Is that your answer to all of the stories out of Florida? Yes. Is that they crazy?
Look at the details. It speaks for themselves.
Here's two more stories on this week's What's Up with Florida. And again, all of these crazy stories have happened in the last 7 days of the great state of Florida. Wow. Here's a 63-year-old man who is not named in the article. He's the latest guy who weighs over 500 pounds that police and firefighters had to come to try to help remove him from his house. Mm. They could not get him through his own front door. The plan was to demolish an entire wall in his house, lay down wooden plank boards, and transport him on a special stretcher into the ambulance. He fell down, couldn't get up, and waited 24 hours before calling for help.
Thinking what?
This time I got it. I got it. I got it.
I don't got it.
All right. I got it. I got it. I
don't got it.
If I lay here long enough, maybe I'll lose enough weight to be able to stand up. He called his best friend Don Estes, who told police, well, he's known the man for 25 years. He's never been married. He never had kids. My friend has a condition that causes him to retain excessive amounts of water and gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at
a condition. It's called beer mug-itis.
I'm looking at beer mug, and I'm telling you that water is not the problem with cases like this guy, right?
As a matter of fact, he's got an ocean inside him. How much water can he retain?
Exactly. And finally, speaking of beer mug, here's a Lake Worth, Florida man in the hospital after investigators say he went on a violent rampage through a grocery store, damaging property, at one point picking up a young woman and throwing her in the air. Police say that he was combative and appeared to have superhuman strength.
Oh,
35-year-old Noel Torres was running through the supermarket, and beer mug, you'll know why I think of you, screaming, "Food! I want food!" Investigators say police tried tasing him. It did not stop the man. He kept fighting and terrorizing the supermarket. It took a team of officers to finally bring him down.
Oh, no.
The chief of police for Boca Raton, Andrew Scott, says it sounds like a case of excited delirium. It's a worked up phase that can be brought on by a combination of drugs and possible mental illness. What you have here is a formula for disaster. He also pointed out, by the way, that he has seen an increase in cases like this in recent years. Why is this happening more frequently now as opposed to 10 years ago? I can't tell you. I don't know why, but there is no quick fix. He was arrested for battery and resisting arrest.
If Floridians are getting superpowers, we're all in trouble.
Uh-oh.
If that's where the mutant transformation is starting in this country, we're in big trouble. That's where the X-Men are coming from. Now the whole country is doomed.
This is like those viruses that become immune to antibiotics. They just get stronger and stronger, and there's no way that we can resist them.
Food!
Again, food! I want food! That's what he was saying. Beer mug, you got to move to Florida, dude. That's what's up with
you
Florida.
You would fit right in Florida, beer mug. I think that's a great idea.
How do it.
Dare you.
Be there with your giantness and your flip-flops and your ugly feet and your insanity.
I do like the Keys, though. I'd move there.
Well, thanks for sharing that information about Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Brian Sloan is the young man's name. He is an inventor of something called the Auto Blow 2. And yes, it does exactly what you think it does. We'll talk to him coming up later on this morning. Also, Los Angeles magazine writer Jesse Katz, who has written a fascinating story about how Yasiel Puig got from Cuba to Mexico to the United States to the $42 million contract with the Dodgers. By the way, Lisa, not as easy to get out of Cuba as I thought it was.
Definitely not.
Turns out this was his fifth attempt to get out of Cuba. A lot of people standing in your way to try to prevent those kinds of defections. Anyway, fascinating story about Mr. Puig. So we'll talk about that coming up on today's show. Speaking of fascinating stories, there's a piece of paper that is in the news right now that is about the size of a business card. It first surfaced in September of 2012 at the International Coptic Congress in Rome. It was revealed to the world as being something that told us that Jesus was married. And it has been very controversial ever since. A lot of people said, hey, wait a minute. I don't know about the handwriting on that. The grammar doesn't seem right. The kind of paper it's on, the color. We had lots of questions about whether this thing is real or not. Well, it has been dissected, as you can imagine, by every expert in the world over the course of the last, the last year and a half or so. And now the results are in. And I think you're going to be very surprised to hear what the Huffington Post tells us they have concluded.
It looks like the ancient piece of papyrus called the Gospel of Jesus' Wife may actually be as vintage as originally claimed. After testing the fragment, the papyrus and its words are probably not a fake. The fragment drew a lot of skepticism since it was revealed to the public in 2012, mainly because it contains phrases that have never been seen before. They read, "Jesus said to them, 'My wife, and she will be able to be my disciple.'" After news of the words on the manuscript broke, some in the Christian world dove into arguments about the legitimacy of the claim that Jesus may have been married.
Okay, now part of the reason that that's significant is the reason priests aren't married is because Jesus wasn't married.
Right, and celibate.
Right. So there are a lot of dudes out there going, "Oh, dude, he was totally married. Jesus was totally married. Are you kidding me?" So this is gonna, it's probably gonna open up a lot of speculation, a lot of questions, what we know about Jesus. You know, his life is fairly well documented in those last 3 years, but there's nothing else in the Bible about the wife. So what's the real story? We wanted to find out. So we asked Dave, "Hey, who do you got? Who can we talk to about this very controversial topic?" He said, "We got the hotline to heaven. Let's dial it up right now.
All right.
See if we can get a hold of our Lord and Savior, talk to Jesus himself, and find out what's up with this new information. Hello, Jesus. Can you come in, please?"
"Good morning, my children."
"Hi, Jesus. What's up?"
"Jesus, come in, please, by the way. This isn't a shortwave radio, okay?"
Sorry.
"You're talking to Jesus. Have a little respect."
Yeah, I apologize. It occurred to me that maybe that was a little bit
too
familiar.
"Jesus, can you come in? Do you read me? Over. Hey, Jesus." You're not on a mission. It's 1941. You're not on a bombing raid, okay?
Okay. I accept your score, Jesus, because, of course, you are perfect and I am with sin, so I screwed up. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
You said a mouthful there, brother.
So what about this ancient papyrus? As you heard in the setup, I hope, scientists have been buzzing ever since it came to our attention a couple of years ago. And now the experts seem to be concluding that it is real.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's real.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, sure.
So you were referring to, when you were talking about your wife, you were talking about wife in the way that we know the word today, meaning that you were married to a woman.
Yes, I was married. You people get a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah. We do.
About the times that I was around, and that's one of them. I was absolutely married.
Why is there no other reference to this in the Bible, though? There's a lot of Jesus in the Bible, not so much from Mrs. Jesus.
Look, you're asking the wrong dude. I mean, I don't control that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I was married. A lovely girl, Brenda.
Her name was Brenda.
Yeah.
Unusual for those times.
We were married. We had our ups and downs, not like any married couple, but
sure,
I was married.
Is it tough being married to Jesus because, you know, you're always right?
Well, not if you ask Brenda. I'll tell you that much, huh? You with me, fellas?
I'm not sure I am. Lord, what do you mean?
Well, like many wives, she thought she knew best. And I would say, "Hello, son of God here." And she'd be like, "Well, son of God, how about taking out the trash once in a while?" And I'd say, "Hey, I'm busy saving souls."
Yeah.
And she said, "Speaking of souls, I need some new shoes." But I'm bummed. And like I said, it was hard. I was busy a lot. I traveled a lot.
You weren't home a lot, huh?
I would from Galilee to Jerusalem, you know, to the temples, knocking over tables and stuff. I had a full agenda.
Yeah. And, hanging out with the whores and the poor people.
She was home a lot. Hey, Mary Magdalene was a good kid.
Okay.
She was mixed up with the wrong crowd.
Not trying to offend.
But Brenda would, she would complain sometimes that I wasn't home nearly enough. And what about the kids? You know, the kids miss you. How about coming home?
You had
home?
Kids?
Oh,
wait,
sure,
what?
Yeah.
What?
You didn't get that?
No. How many kids do you have?
Three sons. Reuben, Ira, and Yehudi.
What's Yehudi up to?
He didn't want to get in the family business.
I see.
Ira and Reuben, they were good kids. They went on with the saving souls and dying for your sin stuff.
Wow.
But Yehudi, he got into music.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No kidding.
He became a drummer.
What a surprise.
For a Coptic rock band. They call themselves Cop Rock. And he was a drummer. And in those days, it was easy to be a drummer. It was just you'd hit a lamb with a bone. That was it. That was the whole drum kit right there.
Yeah, pretty lo-fi, I guess. Yeah. So you were not only married, you had sex.
Oh, sure. Well, look, what's the point of being married if you don't have sex, right?
And I bet you were really good at it.
Well, you know, Brenda, if you ask Brenda, she would say, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I could walk on water. What do you think I could do with her body? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true. Miracles happen.
You know, Mom and Dad were upset because I married a Gentile. I think that's probably why you don't hear a lot about it.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
Brenda was a shiksa. And, you know, Mom and Dad would always say, well, I get to marry a nice Jewish girl, Jesus. And I'd say, hey, have you seen the cans on Brenda? You know what I'm saying?
That's what she said.
Yeah. It was hard to find blondes with big hooters back in the day. So when I met Brenda, I jumped all over that.
This is not what we think of as Jesus Christ that we know and love at this point.
I was all over that like the meek inheriting the earth. You know what I'm saying? And, married. Long time. The kids.
This radically changes our understanding of the times in which you lived.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because they say the priest can't get married because I was celibate.
Right, what about that? Should we change that?
Yeah, because virginity was very highly prized back in the day. Mm-hmm. Not so much for moral reasons, because the case of the clap would kill you.
Well, yeah, no antibiotics, sure.
Finding a virgin was a big deal, because you didn't want to, you know, you didn't want to swim in certain cesspools. You know what I'm
Understood.
Saying?
Mm-hmm. So it's time to loosen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we just had the auto suck back then, we wouldn't have had any problems, you know?
That's the band that's going to be doing that song and others in the Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock 1 week from today. If you want to go, we'll let you go sometime between 7 and 8. We'll tell you when to call in and win from the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yeah, that lead singer sounds hot. She sounds so hot. I'm gonna meet her.
Just with a very pretty voice.
Lies!
Hey, time for the Showbiz Beat now here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. What's going on, man?
How much do you love Neil Diamond? He's a legend, right? A living legend.
Totally.
He is.
Living legend.
I went to see him a couple of years ago. Ralph, I know you've enjoyed a Neil Diamond show as well.
Several times.
And he's got to be upper 60s, still puts on a hell of a show.
He does. He's quite the performer. So I think that this woman got her money's worth. This woman I'm talking about is a British woman who was on holiday in South Africa. And she was in the mood to hear Sweet Caroline. Who doesn't want to hear that song from time to time?
Uh-huh.
So she gets on her iPhone there, and she downloads Neil's Greatest Hits album to her iPhone. Now she's got a wide selection of Neil songs to enjoy while she's on vacation there in South Africa. The album was just $15. What a bargain for all that entertaining music.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, her download foreign allowance was used up. She didn't realize that, so she was end up being charged $13 per megabyte.
And the album is a lot of megabytes?
326 megabytes. Turns out, for Neil Diamond's Greatest Hits album, downloaded to her iPhone, she was charged $4,350.
Yay!
That's an expensive album.
That's a lot to spend for a Neil Diamond album, even as much as I enjoy him. She complained to her cell phone carrier.
Yes.
Whose fault is it? Whose dumbass fault is that? That she downloaded an album without her foreign allowance for downloads was used up. And she went ahead and
foreign allowance. What is
well,
that?
It's like when you travel, Lisa. Have you ever traveled abroad and you have to change your phone service to get foreign service on your phone?
Yeah, you get roaming charges.
Okay.
You never do that?
Uh-huh.
If you're going to be like, I'm going to the UK this summer, I will change my plan so that I have unlimited foreign texting and calling. So when I use my cell phone to call back to the States or whatever, I don't get hit with those giant international charges per in this case, megabyte for data or...
So she had only so much data for...
She had purchased a plan that gave her a limited amount of downloadable international megabytes.
Okay.
And that allowance had been used up. But she went ahead and got the album anyway because she wanted to hear Sweet Caroline. So, well then, $4,350 later...
Man!
So she complained and they knocked the price down to a low $700 for the album. So
That's a lot for Neil Diamond.
It sure is, but.
I thought the funniest part was that she is not a huge Neil Diamond fan, first of all, just in the mood, but she owns that album already back home.
Yep.
She says she has a copy of it back home in her car, but she just felt like it on the road, and it ended up costing her all this money.
She's got a wild hair, and so that cost her the big cash, which I think is awesome. If I had to put a gun to your head and say, okay, right now, name the most recent American Idol winner. What happens?
Can't do it.
Are your brains all over the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I do not have that information, no.
Yeah, Candace Glover is her name.
Oh, Candace Glover. He or she was great.
I have never heard that name before.
She sold a mere 19,000 copies of her new album in the first week of release.
Ow.
Wow.
Many people saying this spells the end.
The death knell.
For American Idol.
Yeah.
Maybe ending very nearly in the future, according to sources at Fox and American Idol. They say the staff and the crew are desperately searching for new jobs before AI gets canceled.
Isn't it still relatively popular ratings-wise, though, Ralph?
I don't even know anymore.
Okay.
And very cheap to make, generally, although the
Now when you're paying Jennifer Lopez $10 million, yeah.
Right.
They say they can't compete with shows like The Voice and other talent competition reality shows that are doing much better in the ratings and get a lot more buzz, and American Idol has just fallen by the wayside. So people are speculating that they may pull the plug.
Now,
I bet, with the salaries, it's not a cheap show to make.
Yeah,
when you think of the salaries they're paying Ryan and the judges and everything else, I bet
all
that's a very expensive show to do, actually. So they might be better off cutting bait.
They, over the course of however many seasons they've done, I mean, they definitely have generated, if not, they have a few big stars that have come out of it, obviously. But they've generated a lot of working musicians. There are a lot of people who make a living in music as a result of that show. But it sure doesn't sound like that's going to be the future if this is what the winner is getting right now. Because that's at the peak of their popularity, is it? Right after they come off winning the show, right?
Yeah. You think if they're ever going to sell a record, it would be then.
Right.
But Candace Glover.
Poor Candace.
Not doing so well.
Couldn't have picked that name out of a lineup, I'll tell you that.
Me neither. No. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, writer, director, super talent, Emma Thompson's 55 years old today. Guitarist Ed O'Brien of Radiohead is 46. Patrick Carney from Black Keys is 34 years old. Seth Rogen is 32. Allison Williams from Girls is 26. Emma Watson, little Hermione. I'd like to see her hiney. You know what I'm saying? Hermione? Her hiney?
Pretty damn clever there, Ralph.
This thing on? Hello?
Not for much longer.
24 years old, and Maisie Williams. Arya Stark from Game of Thrones is 17 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying you're a dick.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Tuesday morning. Looking ahead toward tomorrow, by the way, actor Dan Backerdahl is going to be here. Of course, he plays Steve on Legit on FXX. So funny, that show. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow, and Bill Maher. It's been a while since we've had Mr. Maher on from Real Talk on HBO. He's going to be joining us tomorrow as well. So we were at April Foolishness a couple of Saturday nights ago, Ralph. And you remember the VIP, the party we had, the party bus section that we had with all the listeners who came out?
Yes.
And, they paid a little bit extra. They got seats up close, and they got the, the parking, and they got the T-shirt, and they got the party, and the food, and the drink, and the pictures, and all that deal. So we're chatting with tons of listeners, and God bless them. So, I mean, I know you met a lot of people that night, too. It's so nice to hear from people who really do listen to this show. I mean, it really is heartwarming.
Yes.
And we do not take that for granted. We heard some amazing stories from people who have been listening to us for years and years and years, and people telling us how we're part of their lives. And it really meant a lot to us. And I met this one guy who was a former professional football player, by the way, ex-LA Ram, and also a police officer, current police officer. So he came up and we were chatting for a little bit. Super nice guy. And then Kevin, hard to believe he was late. So when he joined the party, this police officer came back up to meet Kevin and get his photo taken with Kevin. And I introduced him. Hey, here's so-and-so. He's a police officer. And you should have seen the look on his face. He shut that down fast. He was like, hey, shh, no. He didn't want me to introduce
cover,
him.
Man. That's why.
Well, he wasn't. He's not a narc.
He was 21 Jump Street, man. He was undercover.
He wasn't working the room.
He was probably trying to bust Kevin for his drug ring.
He wasn't undercover trying to find drugs or anything like that. He just didn't want it known that he was a police officer. And I've heard this before sometimes where cops don't like to volunteer that information. But I'm so intrigued by that. And I'd like to hear from police officers about this topic, because I'm sure there have been situations where you don't want people to know you're a police officer, and I want to know why that is or how you handle it or what your policy is on telling people what you do for a living. And I'll explain why after I give the number. It's 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from police officers, past or present, at 1-800-520-1067. Do you tell people you're a cop? And if so, why? If not, why not? Here's what I'm thinking, Ralph. Being a cop is a baller job.
You just don't understand at all, do you?
Maybe I don't
get it.
But I would think that being a cop means I've got it going on. I am obviously physically fit. I am obviously smart. I obviously carry a weapon. I get to do cool things. I mean, I would think in my mind, in the hierarchy of jobs that you have that you can brag about, being a cop is pretty much near the top.
Yes, but in social situations, I bet it's a real buzzkill.
And don't forget, it's a K-Rock group.
Yep.
There's a lot of people there that have had less than pleasant experiences, their fault, with cops.
But aren't there also a lot of people there who have, as I do, respect and admiration and a little bit of awe towards the men and women who decide to be police officers?
Well, if you're square, daddy-o, then yeah, sure. That's how you roll. But I would think if I was a cop and I was a cool cop, I would feel bad in certain social situations where if I announced that's what I did, it would change the demeanor and it would make some people uptight in a given social situation. I bet if you say I'm a cop, everybody who's holding in the room or everybody who's done something maybe they're not quite so proud of is a little bit now on edge, a little bit freaked out because they're around a cop. It's like going into a room and saying you're a priest. You know, if you're telling a dirty joke or you're talking about the sex you had with your girlfriend last night, and then the guy says, oh, that's a great story. I say, what do you do? He goes, oh, I'm a priest. I'd be like, sorry. Sorry, Father.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a pastor, and he goes out and plays golf with people that don't know him. And every time he's, you know, halfway through, if they ask him what he does and he tells them, they all kind of freak out. So now he just says teacher.
Yeah, well, see, there's
so people can be themselves.
There are certain professions that will affect people's attitudes once it's announced that's what you do.
Yeah, I think you just want people to be normal.
And to treat you for yourself rather than, oh, now I'm going to treat you differently because you're a cop or whatever.
This is fascinating to me.
Someone like, it's sort of like an MMA fighter who sometimes gets challenged. I mean, that could happen too, where someone all of a sudden it gets their feathers up and they
want to. Oh, yeah, pig, come on. I smell bacon. Let's go. You don't want to throw down.
Right.
You're not suggesting that sometimes I, Bean, have trouble reading a room, are you?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. I think you just don't get out enough to understand the social dynamics of this situation.
This is incredibly eye-opening for me because, as I said, I look at a cop as being an awesome job and you're better than I am and I buy you a drink if you're a police officer. To me, somebody saying I'm a cop at a party is like, I'm a veteran at a party. All of a sudden, you're the guy who we owe. That's how I look at it. Not you're somebody to stay away from. You're somebody that we want to hang out with.
Even if you're a veteran, do you want to have announced that and then have people say, oh, what was it like over there, man?
Right.
How many tours did you do? Do you really want to start answering all those questions that dumbasses ask of people once they find out what they do?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
you don't know. That's what I'm saying. You don't know.
I'm just saying if I were a cop, I would never stop bragging about it. I guess that's what I'm saying. If I were cool enough to be a police officer, I would make sure that people do that. Well, we want to take your calls and find out what it's like for you as a law enforcement officer. Do you tell people? If so, why? If not, tell me why not. 1-800-520-1067. Before we go to our calls, by the way, here's a clip. And you guys all saw the Denzel Washington movie Training Day, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest films of the 2000s. I'm pretty sure this is Denzel giving his big speech about what it's like to be a police officer.
It's awkward having a policeman around the house. Friends drop in, a man with a badge answers the door. The temperature drops 20 degrees. You throw a party and that badge gets in the way. All of a sudden, there isn't a straight man in the crowd. Everybody's a comedian. Don't drink too much, somebody says, and the man with a badge will run you in. Or how's it going, Dick Tracy? How many jaywalkers did you pinch today? All at once, you lost your first name. You're a cop, a flatfoot, a bull, a dick, John Law. You're the fuzz, the heat, you're poison, you're trouble, you're bad news. They call you everything, but never a policeman.
That's why Denzel won the Oscar right there. Climactic moment from Training Day.
No.
Let's talk to John real quick. He'll get us going. He's on line one. John, thanks for calling, and thanks for holding on. What's going on, my friend?
Morning. Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
You are a police officer.
Yes,
all right. Tell, you've been listening while you've been on hold. What's your reaction to what you've heard here this morning?
Sounds accurate. I mean, I generally don't tell people what I do. And it, people, seems like they kind of have a disdain for the most part.
What kind of reaction do you get? So you're in a situation where you used to tell people that you were a police officer. What do they say to you?
If it's someone I'm just meeting for the first time, they'll generally crack a little bit, kind of a, you know, a smart comment.
Mm-hmm. Like what,
nervous
though?
Laugh.
I mean, what's their complaint about you being a cop? This is what I don't understand. I would say, awesome. Tell me more. You know, I'd be fascinated with hearing about it.
Yeah, well, I work graveyards, and so our main focus is, you know, impaired drivers. And so if we had a party, it's kind of an awkward thing because everyone was drinking. And a lot of people have DUIs on their records and stuff. So.
The best case scenario, you get a douche like Bean who's saying, ooh, tell me all about it. I want to hear all your cop stories. And maybe you don't feel like sharing those at a party.
All right, John, thanks so much for the call, sir. Appreciate your service. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, lines are just packed with police officers. I'd be curious to see if this is the universal experience because I may learn a valuable lesson today as a result of this program.
And who knew we had so much fuzz listening to our show, man? John
Making
Law.
You nervous, is it, Ralph?
Bulls.
All right, we'll be right back on K-Rock. Talking about police officers undercover, at least to their friends and family and people they meet on the street. They don't want them to know that they're law enforcement. What's up with that? Ralph, you're surprised to see that I'm surprised that they don't want to tell people they're cops.
Yeah, I can't believe that you don't get it right off the bat. That one way or the other, either negative or positive, the reaction is out of proportion for these people who are just trying to go about their day and have a regular night out or whatever, and they don't want to have to be burdened with the positive or negative attention of that job brings them.
Let's go to Joe. He's on line four. He's a federal agent. I guess the reason I'm surprised is because I think that in my mind, the reaction that you would get would be overwhelmingly positive. That's why I'm surprised that people would stay away from it. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Great talking
so
to you.
So you don't tell people you're law enforcement. How come?
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, yeah, Ralph, you're right on, first off. But secondly, too, you got to remember we're carrying concealed weapons. So more for safety reasons as well. We don't want the crowd to kind of know, especially depending. We don't know who's in the crowd.
That makes sense.
So
explain that to me. What's the danger of people knowing you have a concealed weapon?
Well, specifically in L.A., I mean, you don't know who's in the crowd. It could be a gang member or whatnot. And generally, they know we're carrying, and especially if we get to secured locations. I have friends that, you know, if they know that I'm working or whatever, they'll, you know, they pat me down jokingly and say, hey, you got to stay away from that. You know, it's all about safety. You know, you're securing that weapon, but at the same time, you don't know. You're constantly aware, and that's one of the reasons I generally don't like to talk about it because I just don't want to put that extra attention on myself.
Yeah, worst case scenario, someone tries to jump you and take your weapon off you, that would be just a nightmare.
Well, then it turns into a whole different scenario because no one's going to be taking my weapon. I can guarantee you that. But no. I'm just saying, yeah, you don't want to make a nice, fun event change into a you know, even a guy that's joking around. You know, it could turn into a nice event, can now turn into a serious event. So
I just think you're missing out on a lot of free drinks. That's all I'm saying. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate that, Joe. Let's go on to Tim, also a police officer. He's on line five, and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tim, what's happening, man?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What say you?
Yeah, I'm totally with Ralph. You have two different people when you go to a party and they find out you're a cop. Number one, either they're not going to act naturally around you, or you're going to be telling the scariest story, mm-hmm. the most exciting story, and they're just going to be bombarding you with questions. Or they're going to be running to their car to get a ticket for you to sign off.
Are there no police officers out there who ever admit they're a cop? There's not one person on the line who says, oh, yeah, I'm a cop, and I'm happy about it. I'm proud about it. I like to tell people. Nobody.
You know what? If there is, they're probably only been on the street about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And they're going to get old. It's going to get old, and they're going to get tired of it, and they're going to knock it off.
How about that? Thank you for the call. Let's go one more. Let's go line one. This is Remy. She is also a police officer, and she may have a different perspective for us. Hi, Remy.
Hi there, everyone. And it's actually Sheriff's Deputy.
Sheriff's Deputy. All right. Great. All right. Thank you for at least admitting that to us. What's happening?
So it goes one of two ways. Either it's a positive where everyone's like, oh, can you sign off my ticket? Oh, what about legal advice? Can you give me legal advice? If I drive with only one beer, is it fine? And they give you those, you know, type of questioning. Or you go to the next extreme where, like, I should say I'm a female Hispanic. So when you go to parties, they're like, How can you do this to your own people? How can you do this to your own family? Because tell me one Hispanic that doesn't have a gangbanger in their family, and I'm gonna call them a liar.
I should have asked all of the callers, what do you tell people instead that you do for a living if you won't tell them the truth?
You know, generally, like, I try to avoid the question like the plague. Like, when they ask me, I like my go-to answer, oh, I'm a clerk, or I'm a secretary.
Isn't that something?
I'm a counselor.
That's amazing to me. Wow. This is really
good. Remy, let me ask, are you single? No, I'm not hitting on you. I'm just curious whether you ever run into the situation in a dating situation either.
You know what? Generally, I tend to gear more to, like, military and law enforcement because they usually know what I'm going through.
Gotcha. You mm-hmm. keep to your own.
And then let me actually interject real quick. Not only do I get it from family, I get it from the perps, like the Latinos and the Hispanics, who I'm arresting. Tell me, how can you do this to me, man?
Wow.
Like, I thought we're people. We're
La raza.
Yeah, La raza. Exactly.
Well, Remy, you are awesome. Thanks so much for calling. I played that training day clip for you a minute ago.
It wasn't training day. It was Dragnet.
The great Denzel Washington. I know what you're talking about. I've not heard of that show. But I do have a clip from Southland, which is a show that we loved, obviously, with the great Michael Cudlitz. And here's a scene, a very impactful scene from season 6. This is him as John Cooper, again, talking about the topic of being a police officer.
It's not much of a life unless you don't mind missing a Dodger game because the hotshot phone rings. Unless you like working Saturdays, Sundays, holidays. At a job that doesn't pay overtime. Oh, the pay's adequate. If you count your pennies, you can put your kid through college. But you better plan on seeing Europe on your television set. And then there's your first night on the beat. When you try to arrest a drunken prostitute in a Main Street bar and she rips your new uniform to shreds, you'll buy another one out of your own pocket. And you're gonna rub elbows with all the elite. Pimps, addicts, thieves, bums, winos, girls who can't keep an address and men who don't care, liars, cheats, con men. The class of Skid Row.
Ah, Cudlitz, you were great, man. We miss you on that show
horrible.
So much. All right, we need to clear the lines. Let's wipe them clean, and then we'll open them right back up again at 1-800-520-1067. Completely unrelated, new topic. We have a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. I think we're about to prove that I'm wrong about yet another thing.
Yes, we are. Continue. This is Bean's Clueless Day.
Yeah.
We can't tell you what the topic is because we want unfiltered opinions, but you can't know ahead of time. But give us a call right now if you want to be part of a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next year on Kevin. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then we're going to talk to Brian Sloan. He is the creator of the Auto Blow 2. I never even bought the Auto Blow 1, by the way. They've already come out with the 2? What's going on with that?
You're behind in technology, man.
Apparently, I'm behind in everything, Ralph, because yes. I am learning so much today. Earlier this morning, we were doing What's Up with Florida, and we had a story about a guy who threatened to knock the brains out of his roommate with a metal baseball bat mm-hmm. because of an argument over toilet paper. Now, I didn't know – they didn't give details in the article about what the argument was. I thought maybe it was somebody not replacing the toilet paper roll after after they used it. Ralph suggested that maybe – and it would be justifiable if they were arguing over how the toilet paper roll was hung.
Yes. Justifiable homicide.
Right. Whether the paper comes over or under the roll apparently is a bone of contention for you and apparently everyone else that works here at K-Rock.
Because there's only one correct answer, and anyone who does it otherwise is wrong.
I never have given it any thought. I've heard the question, which do you prefer over or under, but I've never seen any difference between the two, and I still, at this moment, don't understand why you say it's easier and obviously better to go over rather than under.
Because look at the data, Bean. Look at the data. If you're tearing toilet paper off the roll, it is significantly easier to tear it off when it's coming over the top than it is when it's coming under the bottom.
But why? When you pull on the toilet paper, the part that hangs down, you're still pulling the full weight of the whole roll, whether it's under or over.
When you do under, you end up using more paper than you would if you do over because you can see where the perforation is. That's still on the roll when it's over. When it's under, you have to pull it free.
It's science.
See?
And when you pull down, when it's coming over, you've got friction on your side that keeps the roll from spinning. If you pull it from under and use the same motion, it just unspools under the floor. You have to hold the roll with one hand and tear with the other if it's coming under.
But we're literally just talking about ripping toilet paper, which is one of the softest things that you ever come in contact with in your life. It's not like you're busting up cement or something difficult. Right?
Science is science, Bean, regardless.
Right, but I'm saying But I'm saying the roll of toilet paper weighs 2 ounces whether you're pulling the paper from over or under. It can't make that much of a difference.
You know what, Bean? A blue pen writes as does a black pen. They both write. And yet, you won't write with the black pen.
And there's literally no difference there other than the color of the ink.
Literally.
But that's a preference. You guys are making it sound like it's a criminal offense to go under rather than over. Ralph,
if you're using
said,
one hand to rip the paper off, it's easier to do when it's coming over than it is when it's under.
Tell the kids what you told me in the waning moments of that song about what you'll do at somebody else's house.
If I'm out and about, if I'm at someone's home, or even in a public bathroom, and the roll is improperly installed, I will change it and make it right.
You will help them.
I will.
To improve their lives.
I'm making the world better one roll at a time. That's how I
look
at it.
I want to find out if Ralph and Lisa are just funning with me, or if this is a real thing. Is it really universal that over is better than under? We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Actually, don't call because the lines are already filled with people who are going to participate in a Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
We discovered a long time ago, and this is also science, that you only need to take 5 calls to determine something definitively. That's science. That's representative of the entire population of the world, those
yes.
5 calls.
Yes.
So it really only takes 3 yes votes to determine what's going to happen. So we're going to go to you, and you tell us over or under and why, and we will register you, and the first 2-3 votes gets the definitive answer of what's preferred. Travis is going to be up first. He is on line one. Hi, Travis. You have heard the discussion. Over or under for toilet paper?
I don't trust anyone that has under.
God bless you, Travis.
Definitive. And how come? What's your reason?
Like you said, the friction. I don't want a whole feet full of toilet paper.
Right.
I mean, I don't trust that one bit. Come on.
All right. Well,
good
right,
American,
so that's
Travis.
That's a point for over. Let's move on to Robert. He's next. He's on line two. Robert, over or under? What say you?
Absolutely. It has to be over. Yes. I mean, it's a joke for people who want to do it under.
It is. It's like a prank. It's like something you do to ruin someone's day. You put it under.
Well, yeah, not only that, but when my room...
No, yes, go ahead, Robert.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say, when my roommate does it, it just bugs the hell out of me, and we end up arguing over this the same way you guys are doing right now, but he's a Bean fan, so.
Get yourself a metal baseball bat, you can take care of that.
Yeah, right? I'm on your journey. You're walking, Robert.
All right, so that's 2 for over. Let's get the lady's perspective here. This is going to be Rocio. She is on line 6, and she's up next. Rocio, you could be the definitive vote that puts a nail in the coffin of all the unders. What say you?
Hey, thanks for getting my name right. So, yeah, definitely over.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely over. I don't have a preference when it actually goes on the roll, but it's nice when it just happens to end up in that 50-50 chance over.
Oh, now that's interesting. So you prefer over, but not so much that you will intentionally put it on over?
Yeah, I'm not going to be all pickety about putting it whatever.
So you can handle
it. I don't care.
You can handle under, you just don't like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That sounds like a vote for over, you guys.
Yeah, it does.
I take it as an over.
And I think that this is, once again, a unanimous scientific survey. Over is the winner.
Woo-hoo! That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, keep listening for your chance to see The Neighborhood at the Sound Space from Red Bull here at K-Rock. It's going to be 1 week from today, next Tuesday afternoon at 5. You can see it live at KROQ.com. And, of course, you can go to KROQ.com to enter to win your tickets as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Mike Palumbo from Lakewood just won.
Oh, that's right. We just did that.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mike.
Congratulations,
way to go, man.
Mike.
You're going to be there. We got more for you throughout the day, throughout the week. And again, as we said, you can also register online. That's going to be super fun. That Red Bull Sound Space is a tiny little room that we got the big bands come in, and no one's more than like 25 feet away from us. So it's a great way to see a show.
I love Palumbo. He's the best.
Excuse me. Am I bothering you? I got a question for the neighborhood. You guys, you came in and you play your song. If I'm not mistaken, one of you is a woman, yet you look like a guy.
Palumbo's going to ask those questions.
Not a lot of call for your Peter Falk anymore.
I don't get a lot of Peter Falk calls anymore, so I take advantage. Palumbo, Columbo, as long as it's close. Speaking of music, brand new Lana Del Rey music is available.
Oh, I love her so much. I love her so much.
We know. For no good reason, you love her. She debuted her new single at Coachella this past weekend.
Obviously.
And now she has dropped the studio version of her new song. It is surprisingly fun and enjoyable and listenable. It's up tempo. It's got a nice guitar driven track. It's breezy. It's fun. Unlike her dour usual stuff. Anyway, here's a little taste of her brand new song, West Coast.
That is awfully different for Lana Del Rey.
You done?
Down on the West Coast, they got their icons, the Silver Starlets, the Queens of Saigon. You got the music, you got the music in you, don't you?
There you go.
Why do so many people hate Lana Del Rey, Ralph?
Because she's a pompous douche.
Yeah, we didn't dislike her until she came into the studio.
I didn't dislike her until I got to know her.
I didn't dislike her even after she came into the studio.
So many people don't like her because they get to know her and they listen to her being interviewed and listen to her.
She's got quite the attitude.
Unfounded arrogance. What if she edits her own videos? I wonder if that happens. Hey,
you really obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Well, of course, it's obvious. Her distinctive editing style is all over those videos.
She's the most famous editor in the world.
Shut up. Obviously.
I love her, and I stand by her.
You love her because she's hot. Because you get blinded by any level of hotness in any woman. And you can't see past that.
I hadn't noticed that.
You can't see past it, and you can't get around it. Because you're a sad, lonely man on an island. Desperately in need of female touch.
You actually could be right about that.
Yeah, I could be. Congratulations to Johnny Weir, big star of the Olympics, of course, retired figure skater, was a commentary during the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be getting divorced from his husband, Viktor Voronov, but they've decided to stay together.
That's good.
They're consciously coupling again.
All right.
Rumor has it that Viktor has made some conditions about their rapprochement. He's insisting that Johnny has to apologize for all the nasty comments he's made about him. Right. And also wants Johnny's mother to butt out of their relationship. See, gays, you wanted marriage. Now you got it. Welcome to our world.
Yeah? Not as much fun as it looked like, is
uh-huh.
it?
Oh, yeah. Y'all needed that. You don't need those rights. Well, now you got the wrongs, too. You got the rights and the wrongs. Tell your mother to get out of our relationship and stop picking on the dog. And stop saying nasty
like
things about
monkey.
Like a monkey. So I hope those crazy kids can work it out. More relationship news. Naomi Campbell has a new boyfriend. Star Magazine is reporting that she is now dating Michael Fassbender.
Ooh.
Really?
Naomi hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope she doesn't throw a phone at him. Selena Gomez, they say, has broken up with Justin Bieber again.
Now, Dave saw them with his own eyes together at Coachella.
Yeah, well, apparently this is post-Coachella. If she's fed up with his antics, and now she's on the hunt for an older, more mature man, say friends of Selena Gomez. So maybe it was Coachella weekend that did it. By the way, now I know where Justin was, but he was supposed to be in Toronto in court. He had an appearance to make at a Toronto courtroom. I forget which one of this many, many charges this was for.
Yeah, I don't know which one. It's hard to keep track of
them. Oh, this
is
the one where he assaulted the limo driver. Remember they were driving and he hit the limo driver in the back of the head because he wouldn't change the station or turn up the music or something.
Mm-hmm.
So did he not show for his appearance?
He did not, but his lawyer showed up on his behalf at the Old City Hall there in Toronto for his latest hearing. Justin's lawyers picked up evidence from the prosecutors. It's just the disclosure phase, and then the case will go to court on May the 12th, so he's still got some time.
I can't imagine that he was well-received at Coachella when he jumped up on stage with Chance the Rapper. I mean, I would think that a guy like Bieber would risk being just pelted with whatever you could find to throw at him if he got up on that stage.
I didn't hear about him being pelted. Was he pelted?
No, I'm just saying, I'd be nervous if I were Justin Bieber. That is, look, it's one thing to go out in front of a paying crowd of Justin Bieber fans on stage.
Right.
It's another thing to jump on stage at somebody else's set at Coachella,
where you're not
the most popular guy in California at that point.
Those of you who were there and saw that and didn't pelt him, you've lost my respect.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. You had your opportunity. You could have killed Hitler. It's 1939, and you could have killed Hitler. Whatever happens in the future, it's on your heads. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Thompson is 55 years old today. Ed O'Brien from Radiohead fame is 46. Patrick Carney of the Black Keys is 34 years old. Seth Rogen. He's got that new movie, Neighbors, coming out. Looks funny to me.
It does.
where he's moving next to a frat house. Zac Efron, I think, is the leader of the
frat boys. That's right.
Looks very funny. Allison Williams is 26 years old. Emma Watson turns 24. And Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is 17 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That one's over. Yeah, how about that? That ended. That song just ran right out
not
of steam.
Not coming back
there.
Either.
Nope. It's sure not.
Nope.
The long, strange trip of Yasiel Puig. How did he go from making $17 a month in Cuba to making $7 million a year for the Los Angeles Dodgers? We'll talk to the Los Angeles reporter, Los Angeles Magazine reporter, who wrote the fascinating story that just came out this week that everybody is talking about. That's later this hour. First, though, I think you're right, Ralph. I think we actually maybe do need some warnings on this topic.
Yeah. Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Mm-hmm. And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
Right. Due to mature adult content, parental discretion is advised.
Yes. This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
Clearly, what's about to happen on our stage is very dangerous.
Yes.
Seems obvious, but we should underscore it. Please, don't try this or anything resembling this at home.
Absolutely.
Actually, you can try this at home. Actually, no. I take that last one back.
Not even.
He is the kinky king of Beijing. At one time, just a shy, quiet, unassuming attorney from Chicago, and now he's the creator of the Auto Blow. Let's please put our hands together and welcome our new best friend, Brian Sloan, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Brian, how are you, buddy?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Hey.
First of all, what was wrong with the original Auto Blow that now we need an Auto Blow 2? Has there been that much advancement in technology since your first creation?
Yeah, good question. Actually, the first Auto Blow, it was built kind of like a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the motor could only last 30 hours. It was difficult to clean. And sometimes it didn't have enough power to stroke when something was inserted inside of it. So in the Auto Blow 2, we just upgraded everything. We use an industrial strength motor. Actually, it plugs into the wall, this one, and it has interchangeable sleeves so that, no matter what your size is, that you won't stop it while it's stroking. Does that make sense?
Okay. Let's try not to use the word stroke so much if we could, Brian. I think we all know what we're talking about. The goddamn thing's called the Auto Blow.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, you did Sex U for many years at our show.
Yes.
Of course, you were a correspondent on Playboy TV for a while. So you know a little bit something about this topic. How much power is needed for a device like this that you got to hook it up to the grid?
Well, here's the thing is that the Auto Blow, unlike other pleasuring devices for men, is automated. It has a motor, so you can use it hands-free, if I'm not mistaken. Is that Brian?
Yeah, you can use it hands-free.
Yeah.
Sure.
And this one you plug into the wall, so we're talking some serious power here.
Well, it's DC. It uses a converter, so it's not like it's AC going directly to it. But yeah, it's more powerful than anything that's battery powered.
Is it rechargeable, or is it just you have to plug it in?
Nope, you have to plug it in. Even a rechargeable battery wouldn't give it enough power.
Enough power.
Okay, now
so you've got to be at home to use this pretty much.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is there a version that you are thinking of where you could plug it into like the cigarette lighter in your car so that it could be the auto blow too?
I met a guy in an event who made something like that in the 1980s, and it was called. I don't know if I can. I guess I could say what it was called. that had kind of been made in the 80s, and I think it was popular with truckers.
Yeah,
we called it the trucker's friend is what we used to call it, right.
You might, okay.
So you live and work in China, basically, right? This is where this is where your product is made. Is China a large market for products like this?
Actually, it is. At first, I've been in Beijing, actually, 7 years. The product probably won't be for sale in China for some time because doing business in China is difficult. And I prefer to spend my time making things rather than like dealing with all of the steps necessary to enter the market.
I see. Here. But manufacturing you can do there and then sell it in other markets.
Exactly.
I got you.
Ralph, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Brian is also the inventor who brought us the Mangasm and the Ladygasm sex toys.
Sure, I'm a big fan of all the gasms.
The whole family.
I like
gasms.
Kidgasm. Kidgasm was a failed product. It didn't really go so far.
The reason Brian is on today is not just to brag because he has an awesome job that's more fun than yours. He's on because he has a campaign on Indiegogo right now. Believe it or not, as successful as Brian has been, he is looking for our help to raise money to make the Auto Blow 2. Here's a little bit of the video from your site.
Hey guys, the days of doing it yourself are finally over. This is the Auto Blow 2. I've invented the best male sex toy ever. Why? Because it's powerful, it's automatic, it's hands-free, it's super easy to clean, it fits men of all sizes, and best of all, it feels great. It won't electrocute your
Well, that's a good selling point. It won't electrocute your unit. That's cool.
Right. And for folks who are just now tuning in halfway through, I feel like we should...
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
Due to mature adult content, parental discretion is advised.
All right. So what are we looking at here? You've got a funding deadline of Sunday, May 11th. How are we looking in terms of the kind of money you need to raise here, Brian?
Yeah, it's good. I had a $45,000 on the campaign, and I think so far it's at about $7,500, but it only launched last Thursday night, so it's only been maybe 4 days or so. So it's looking good. You know, we contacted all of our old customers who bought the original and put the word out, I guess, through all of my friends and some other contacts, and guys are finding out about it. So far there's been a really good response.
Now, what kind of perks do they get if they contribute to the campaign, Brian?
Yeah, good question. So normally the product when it hits stores this summer, it'll be $150.
Wow!
So the first.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but actually, it will last you a very long time.
That's so are my hands.
Your uses.
All right, so the product will be exorbitantly expensive when it hits the market. But if I donate to your Indiegogo site, then what happens?
Right. Well, the first 100 people get it for $79, and there's still, I think, 30 of them left at $79. Then it becomes $99, so people can save $50 at a minimum, or maybe more.
There you go.
All right, you cheap bastard, Ralph. You can't put a price on that kind of pleasure.
All
Come
the
on.
Money you're not spending on not having a girlfriend or a wife, you can put towards this.
But did you hear this? Does it electrocute your penis? It's a huge advantage. Well, no, you don't know what you're going to get when you get
that
with a woman.
My biggest complaint about the original Auto Blow is that I kept electrocuting myself.
All right, so you go to Indiegogo and search for the Auto Blow 2, and then you can make the contribution. Yeah. And at least that's one way to get about half off of what the price will be. Now, assuming that the funding comes through and you get this thing made, for everybody else listening who might want to buy this down the road, when might it be available for purchase here in America?
It should be in the U.S. by the end of June.
Wow.
So it'll be they can probably find it in a bunch of local stores then or on autoblow2.com after June.
Okay.
And everyone can, do what they do with the Auto Blow.
Yes, everyone will be well-equipped for Independence Day.
And I'd like to add that even just ahead of Independence Day, Father's Day is coming up. This would make an outstanding gift for the dad in your life as well.
That's a great idea.
All right, Indiegogo.com, search Auto Blow 2. He is the kinky king of Beijing. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Sloan joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Thanks, Brian. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. I'll send you a couple of bring you.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. The most depraved half hour in the history of our show continues now. And we take you to Finland. Lisa, are you familiar with Tom of Finland? Have you seen the artwork known as Tom of Finland's work?
No, I have not.
You would recognize it if you saw it, I think. If you've ever been to West Hollywood, it's hard to find a place that doesn't have a picture or a painting or something on the wall. This is a guy he's known as Tom of Finland. His real name is Toku Lakanson, and he does artwork of very buff men, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really, really good artist, and they're usually naked or close to it. And he's done lots of artworks over the years, and some of them are quite explicit. But, I mean, it's just big, beefy, macho men that are very popular in the gay community. Well, the reason I bring this up and the reason that they are in the news is it has just been announced that in Finland, they are putting those images on stamps that are going to be released on September 8th, 2014.
Really?
bare male ass.
Really?
In drawings, not photographs, but yeah, with big guys with, you know, bushy mustaches and everything. It looks like the Village People on a stamp.
Okay,
and
I just looked him up. And
yes,
I do.
You recognize
yeah,
that.
I totally recognize this.
Yeah, I mean, he's a super, super famous, very successful artist. He's been working for a long time. It's just, it's hard to imagine that you would put that on postage for people. But I mean, I guess, you know, he's a famous Finn, and his artwork is probably very popular there. And they're, you know, not as sexually uptight as they are perhaps here in the United States of America. So those stamps are coming out in September. I think we're a long ways from that here in the United States, but we wanted to find out more about this. The postal service in Finland is called the Etelä Posti Oy, and they don't have a postmaster general. They have a chairman, and his name is Arto Hiltunen. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Hiltunen, thank you for being on K-Rock, sir. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your program.
So, Tom of Finland, pretty big deal in your country, right?
Yes, Tom of Finland is a very famous artist from Finland. And it's always a great way to celebrate the famous Finn.
Right, because he's a famous person in your country, so it would make sense that you would want to honor his contribution to your society with this artwork.
Yes.
Now, you understand, here in the United States, this would never happen. We would never have pictures as racy as these on our postage.
Well, that's what they tell me regarding your country.
Mm-hmm.
But we're celebrating his work as a fine artist. And some people also here in Finland also not pleased with the content of the stamps. But we feel it's important enough for a successful artist to put the work together.
And, I see.
And frankly, I was surprised myself by the art when I finally saw it, because I thought Tom of Finland was the guy who made the toothpaste.
No, that's. I think he's in Maine.
Yes.
I think that's. He's a Tom of Maine,
yes.
I think.
So imagine my surprise when I thought I'd be seeing toothpaste and see male buttocks.
Right. Well, I mean, look, artwork is always controversial. I mean, there are people who would never accept, you know, looking at a nude photograph of a woman. But if it's an artist from the Renaissance period who paints a nude woman, all of a sudden that's acceptable and that's art. I mean, it's a fine line for some people.
Yes, and this is gay men in bondage. Mostly
right.
His work,
mm-hmm.
And many people here in our postal service are enjoying the art very much. Like my assistant Timo, he and his friend are enjoying these stamps quite a bit.
Oh, I see. So they've got the stamps right there in the office, and they're checking them out, are they?
They sure are. They're checking them out, and they are licking the stamps. Which is strange because they are self-adhesive.
Yes, there's no reason to lick them at all, I guess.
What's now they're getting out the chains.
Oh, no.
Yes,
I don't.
They're just, easy there, Timo. Don't put your heart on him.
Wow.
All right. Okay.
You
guys are making me very uncomfortable over here.
Jeez, this is.
Take it outside, won't you, please?
This is at the post office this is going on.
It's
this is rough.
It's every post office now. It's like this everywhere you go. People having all kinds of uncomfortable situations.
It sounds like it, just as a result of these sexy photos, huh?
All right. Okay, Timo. All right. Okay. How about lunch? How about taking a lunch break? What do you say? Okay.
Arto, you've got your work cut out for you there, man. It's going to be very busy to be the postmaster now.
It's very difficult to have a professional working situation when everyone is slapping and pinching and kicking and whipping.
Wow, just put some gay body stamps out there. It just changes everything. What's happening now?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Hiltunen?
Okay, that was pretty hot.
Thank you, Fitz. Thank you, Tantrums. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's the most magical, wonderful time of year when you hear the great Vin Scully say these words.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And when he's not sitting on the bench for doing something dumb, the most exciting player in the major leagues to watch is Yasiel Puig, who, by the way, has the most unbelievable, the most fascinating backstory of any player I've ever read about in baseball. I didn't even know about it, Lisa, until Los Angeles Magazine came out with this article called Escape from Cuba, Yasiel Puig's Untold Journey to the Dodgers. The man who wrote that article is Jesse Katz, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
Hey, good morning. It's great to be with you.
I understand that you were on our program 12 years ago talking about a different Dodger-related story, so apparently that's the rhythm we're in, is every 12 years we have you on for a few minutes.
We're like a comet or something.
Exactly. So, Jesse, what drew you to this story? What made you think, hey, there's something here that's worth spending months of my life researching?
Well, look, I know you guys are baseball people. I am a huge Dodger fan. I've got a 16-year streak of going to opening day at Dodger Stadium. It's like kind of my national day of observance or something.
Nice.
And I love this team as a fan, and I love watching Yasiel play. You know, he is we're like enormously fortunate to have him to cheer about and groan about sometimes too. And you know, I think we knew that he was from a very different place and a very different culture, and I think we knew that he was young and had some maturity issues, but and there were hints of something more to it. There were, if you really paid attention to some of the blogs out there, read between the lines of some of the profiles, there were hints that there was something dark and mysterious clouding his journey to the U.S. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to do this for a magazine that was incredibly supportive and willing to send me on this kind of reverse journey from California to Arizona to Florida and finally to Cuba to see where Yasiel grew up and where he came from.
Yeah, you're right to thank the Los Angeles Magazine for giving you the resources to follow this story because, you know, in this blog world that we live in, if something's more than about 2.5 paragraphs, most people just tune out or don't spend the time. It just doesn't seem like there's much long-form journalism anymore. Now, are there a lot of major leaguers from Cuba? We hear so much about the Dominican Republic and places like that. Are there a lot of Cubans playing baseball right now?
I think there is about 20 right now that are in the major leagues and more probably en route at this very minute. I mean, they've been arriving the wave has been cresting here over the last year or two. The Dodgers have Puig just signed Alexander Guerrero, who we're hopeful will play second base one of these days. And he had, I don't think he endured what Yasiel did, but he also had to, risk his life by.
Well, I want to talk about that because I think a lot of people would be surprised, and this was really what was so eye-opening about your piece, is that there are two different ways to get out of Cuba. One is to take your chance in a boat or getting somehow to the United States of America. The other is to go through a third country, like Yasiel did, to go through Mexico. Explain to our listeners what the difference is in terms of how baseball treats those people who both end up in America.
Yeah, well, first of all, they both start in the same place. You got to get on a boat, and there is no humanitarian boat lift from Cuba to Los Angeles or anywhere in the U.S. You know, you have to rub shoulders with unsavory characters and put your life in the hands of this smuggling pipeline that's kind of feeding major league's appetite for talent, but also exploiting it and taking advantage of these players. So if Yasiel had come straight to the U.S., he would have been welcomed as a Cuban refugee, could have sought political asylum, but Major League Baseball would have treated him as an amateur. He would have been thrown in the draft and, you know, been at the mercy of whichever team drafted him, and you lose your bargaining power. So what these guys do is they need to become a free agent, and the only way you can do that if you're in Cuba is to get out of Cuba and establish residency in a third country. In this case, it was Mexico. Of course, it's an elaborate fiction, right? Yasiel Puig did not want to become a legal resident of Mexico, but
right,
that's what he had to do in order to declare himself a free agent in the eyes of Major League Baseball, and then he can negotiate with all teams.
And does Major League Baseball, I mean, are they looking the other way about this pipeline, or are they doing it because their hands are tied and they're legally not able to deal with people from Cuba?
They cannot deal with somebody who is in Cuba. You cannot, it's prohibited on both ends. The Cuban government won't allow their baseball players to do business with the United States or seek to leave the country. And at the flip side is under U.S. Treasury regulations, you know, an American company or organization cannot put a Cuban citizen on the payroll. It's just, it's banned in both directions.
This is the voice of writer Jesse Katz here on the Kevin Beach Show from Los Angeles Magazine. You can read this amazing piece that we're talking about online at lamag.com. You can also buy it in the May issue of Los Angeles Magazine. You talk about sketchy people. I mean, how long was Yasiel in Mexico prohibited from leaving until somebody got paid? That sounds like that's where the whole thing could have broken down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this could have all just ended up perfectly fine if the smugglers who took him out of Mexico had been paid. They'd been promised $250,000 to get Yasiel out of Cuba. In exchange, he was going to owe the people who were bankrolling this trip 20% of his future earnings. But when he got to Mexico, he was being held in a crappy motel on Isla Mujeres off the coast of Cancun. And there was a dispute between the smugglers who had him and the financiers who were in Miami who were supposed to put up the money. And this kind of led to a stalemate and a lot of threats and a lot of, serious danger, where this went on for over 20-some-odd days, where, Puig had just been a defector. He just left Cuba, and suddenly he was a captive again on this island. And I don't know, for you, being a captive on an island, if that sounds so terrible or not. But
I'm a captive on an island right now as I speak to you. It's funny you should say that. So at one point, though, I mean, this is where it just gets treacherous, and it sounds like we're watching a movie here to read your piece. At some point, it sounds like Yasiel Puig is in Mexico, can't leave, basically at gunpoint, and he knows that his actual family is in danger back in Cuba if somebody doesn't get paid, and get paid fast, right?
Well, I think the danger to his family took place once he got out of Mexico. He was in the U.S. He had signed his contract with the Dodgers and was earning, the beginning of his $42 million, and the smugglers felt that they still hadn't been paid. So they came looking for Yasiel even after he was with the Dodgers, and they contacted people who knew him, people who were on the boat with him, and said, we're gonna kill Yasiel Puig if he doesn't pay. We're gonna burn his house down in Cuba if he doesn't pay. This was, real serious, menacing stuff that followed him all the way to Los Angeles. And in the midst of that, one of these smugglers, the guy who actually captained the boat that brought Yasiel out of Cuba, turned up dead with 13 bullet holes in.
This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So in our remaining moments here, Mr. Katz, is a portion of his paycheck, and however it's being filtered through sports agents or whatever, is a portion of his money still actually going to the people who helped him get to the United States? And is that going to go on forever?
I was not able to have an interview with Yasiel about that particular point or his bankers or bagmen, but that is the allegation that is contained in a lawsuit in federal court in Florida, that he has already paid his financiers $1.3 million and continues to owe them more from his 7-year contract.
Unbelievable. I guess the last question I would have to ask you, because, Yasiel has been so popular, not just with Dodger fans, but around the league, but he's also been a controversial player because of the seeming immaturity he has on and off the field. Should we be cutting him some slack based on how tough his life has been up till this point?
That's a really interesting question. And so far, that seems to be the response to this piece. He has been under such scrutiny. There's so much piling on to him and kind of Yasiel bashing and then defending and then backlash and back and forth. And I wasn't sure how this piece would be perceived, because it does take you into a really dark, murky world. But the reaction so far has been quite empathetic. I think people have read it and said, oh, okay, now I understand a little better. I have some higher appreciation for what this young guy has been through.
And young is the operative word here. He's, 23 now? So you think just, 3 or 4 years ago, he's making $17 a month living in just utter poverty. I mean, it would turn anybody's head and life upside down to go through the changes he's gone through.
I think there are a lot of people in Los Angeles who themselves or family members have taken a similar journey. I mean, we're a city of immigrants here. Lots of people have risked their lives to come to America, seek a better life, and earn fame and fortune. The difference is Yasiel was this high-priced cargo. There was this, amazing job waiting for him, and he had to go through his assimilation process. He's going through it right now in front of our eyes, on a very public stage in front of millions of people, and I think the average immigrant doesn't have to do that.
Escape from Cuba, Yasiel Puig's Untold Journey to the Dodgers. It's must reading, especially for baseball fans, at LAMag.com, also in the May issue of Los Angeles Magazine. So, Jesse, I enjoyed this, and I guess we'll talk again in 2026.
All right. That's a good reason to be alive.
All right, man. Thank you so much for the time today. Bye-bye now.
All right.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Listen to Lisa, by the way, wrong way driver. Awfully judgmental for a woman who's not out there on the roads,
Well, I think... If memory serves, that when you're going like west on the freeway, everyone is supposed to go that way.
Wow. Sure, if you want to live by your rules.
It's not bumper cars.
If you want to,
why don't you just nag everybody who's just trying to make a goddamn living?
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Exactly, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, dude?
Not to mention, Lisa's setting up my expectations pretty high with that tire store she talks about. The big O tire store. I'm supposed to get there. Oh! No, I bought tires there. I didn't have a big O.
You didn't?
No, I didn't even have a little O.
You need to come with me.
I just walked away with tires. That's all I got out of it. Didn't get an O of any kind, big
or
small.
Ralph.
Hey, I want to give you something because you're nice. How about some passes to the K-Rock screening of The Quiet Ones?
Yay!
This movie's in theaters everywhere on April the 25th.
Although if it's called The Quiet Ones, maybe it should be.
Yay! That's better. The kids should be quiet for that. Looks terrifying. University professor and a team of students conduct an experiment on a young woman. They're trying to uncover some paranormal forces. And that's the problem with looking for paranormal forces. Sometimes you find them.
You are all going to die tonight.
And then that happens. Jared Harris stars. Boy, I love him. He's a great actor. You know him as, of course, Moriarty from the second Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr. He was in Mad Men. And Sam Claflin. And Olivia Claflin and Olivia Cooke also star in this film. You go to quietonesmovie.com for more details, or you can call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of The Quiet Ones, happening the day before it's released, April the 24th at the ArcLight Hollywood, my favorite movie theater on the whole planet. Because you can get booze right there. Get booze. And then watch a movie.
Sure.
It's Tuesday. That means new release day. I thought the kids would be excited about that, but I guess
I'm excited about that. You know, this is my day. You know, Tuesday I go to IHOP and then right to Best Buy and then to my local independent record store to get all caught up on new releases.
What a full life you have.
What do you have for me today?
How about duck sauce?
Yeah, I'll check that out. They did the Barbara Streisand did that song, right?
What happened?
Yes.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah, the Barbara Streisand song, yeah. I didn't appreciate your cover version of it properly.
Sorry, I don't do duck sauce justice. I didn't know they had a new one out.
Quack is their name of their new CD. Quack by Duck Sauce.
All right.
Due to the Beast by Afghan Whigs. Their new CD's in stores today.
I like them, too.
Talk Dirty by Jason Derulo.
Okay.
And the Disney karaoke series, Frozen. All the songs of Frozen now available on a karaoke CD, so you and the kids can get together and just sing your little hearts out. I sang Just Let It Go about 100 times yesterday.
Is it like on the Teletubbies, your daughter says every time you finish, she's just again.
Yep. Yeah, she's got it. I bought her a little CD player for her birthday, and we got her the Frozen soundtrack, and it's just stuck there on track number 5. It's just set on repeat over and over and over again. Let it go, let it go, let it go.
She's a bitch.
She's not. It's my daughter you're talking about.
Yeah, but 100 times she makes Daddy sing the same song.
Well,
come on.
She enjoys it. DVDs. Here's what you could pick up in the movies if you missed them in theaters. Philomena with Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. Now, for example, I've been dying to see this film, and I have missed it in theater, so I'm looking forward to picking up the DVD of Philomena. Secret Life of Walter Mitty, starring Ben Stiller, Kristen Wiig, and Adam Scott. Not so much. Going to check that one out. The Nut Job with Will Arnett and Katherine Heigl. That's about those crazy squirrels who steal those nuts. Because squirrels love nuts, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you understand. And Ride Along with Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. TV shows on DVD. Ripper Street from the BBC. Season 2 is available. Speaking of BBC, you know what comes back this weekend?
Yes, I do.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Orphan Black coming back on BBC America.
Yay! So good.
So we are going to have Jordan Guevara in studio with us tomorrow. He plays Felix.
Oh, Felix.
Yeah, from Orphan Black. Very excited about Season 2.
Her adopted brother or stepbrother or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, great show. Looking forward to that coming back this weekend. We got to check on the health of our little friend Leah, our little 16-year-old Dancing with the Stars correspondent.
Yeah.
I hope she's doing okay because
I think she's 12, by the way.
Is she 12?
I think she's 12, yeah.
I don't know where I got 16. Her beloved Cody Simpson got booted last night from Dancing with the Stars. I'm guessing she's inconsolable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she's not in school today. I'm sure she's at home just weeping.
With a black armband on?
Probably.
It was Disney. Speaking of Frozen, it was Disney night on Dancing with the Stars last night. So all the stars danced to versions of Disney classics. Cody danced to The Lion King, and he only got a 34 out of 40 possible score. He was down there in the bottom three with NeNe Leakes and Candace Cameron Bure, and then Cody Simpson got the boot. So Hakuna Matata, Cody. It's my advice for you. We talked about this show.
Are you serious?
We talked about the show this week. Chrisley Knows Best.
Mm-hmm.
Story of Todd Chrisley, Atlanta millionaire, and his family.
And he's not famous for anything.
No, of course
other
not.
That it's not like he had another career that we should have known. He's not a race car driver with a reality show.
He was a realtor, and now he's a fashion designer. I believe that's what he wants to do.
So they just hooked her. They picked a random realtor and said, hey, we're going to give you a show.
Well, he's rich. He's rich, if that means anything. He's got a big mansion and stuff.
Okay.
It's about him and his family. Inexplicably, USA Network has given it a second season. 1.3 million viewers tuned in for the most recent episode, a new high for that show.
Oh, hell no!
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's the E! Reruns that is driving people over there to USA Network to see the first runs, but crazy. Craziness. Meanwhile...
Assholes!
Meanwhile, Todd Chrisley is apparently in bankruptcy.
What?
He has got problems. Several Atlanta banks apparently are appearing in court attempting to get him to fork over hundreds of thousands of dollars they say he owes them in his ongoing bankruptcy case.
I would think that he would be rolling in money right now.
Well, Radar Online says his bankruptcy trustee is maybe looking to get his hands on the contract for that second season and take that money from him as well. So things are not going well, as he would have you believe on his TV show.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
I haven't heard that at all, but I've heard he's very heterosexual and loves his wife.
I don't think so.
He loves women. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Thompson is 55 years old today. Guitarist Ed O'Brien of Radiohead's 46. Patrick Carney, drummer for the Black Keys, is 34. Seth Rogen's 32. Allison Williams from HBO's Girls is 26. Emma Watson. Our little Hermione's all grown up. She is 24 years old. And Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones turned 17 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Okay. No one asked for that. We don't need this. Okay.
Actually, I asked for that.
Oh. Are we done now? Can we move on?
I don't know. Let's play it again. One more time.
That's not what you want.
That's for damn sure. Hey, Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What the hell is going on with you?
Lana Del Rey, not her real name, is debuting some new music. She debuted her next single, West Coast, for a big crowd of fans at Coachella over the weekend, and now she has dropped the studio version of her new song. It's a little less moody than her previous work. Interesting lyrics. Sounds like she's not down with us here on the West Coast. Sounds like she's got a little more axe to grind.
Obviously.
Yeah, what a surprise. She's unhappy about something. Down on the West Coast, they love their movies, their golden cars and rock and roll groupies, and you got the music. You got the music in you, don't you?
Well, you say it in an accusatory way. I don't know if that's how it's meant.
It is. She's crabby. She's crabby.
She loves the West Coast.
She's crabby at best. Here's a little taste of her new song.
Down on the West Coast, they got their icons, their silver starlets, their queens of Saigons, and you.
There's the latest song that Lana Del Rey could barely be bothered to sing.
You are really down on her, aren't
what?
You?
Listen to that. You heard it?
Well, lots of people sing quiet songs.
Down on the West Coast, they got their icons, their silver starlets, their queens of Saigons, and you.
Not everything's meant to be screaming rock and roll.
Well, how about just opening your mouth? How about just that much? That much of an effort? Would you have a stroke? Would all the Botox just freeze your face? Lamentably.
I like it. I like her.
I know you do. Blech.
Blech. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of music.
So good.
Remember I Touch Myself by the Divinyls?
Sure.
I loved that song. That was
and
a
she died,
sexy
right?
song. Oh. Why do you gotta go there when I'm talking about sexy songs?
No, I mean, just while we're talking about singers, though, she passed away a few months ago, if I recall
Christina
correctly.
Christina
right?
Amphlett did pass away. There we go. Great tune. Very sexy. Christina Amphlett did, as I mentioned, pass away. She died from breast cancer last year. So now a bunch of Australian female vocalists, because Christina was Australian, have turned the lyrics around to transform what was a wonderfully naughty song into now a warning about breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
The group of female vocalists used the song to encourage women to touch themselves and check for lumps.
Yeah, that does take some of the fun out of it.
Thanks, yeah. Australian female vocalists.
Here's used another to be song happy.
I'll never be able to enjoy myself too.
Used to be a happy masturbation song,
oh,
and now it's all
see?
About
I tried
looking
to
for tumors.
Nice and oblique about it, and you have to come out and say that.
Of course
well,
he
I'm
does.
Just saying,
being all creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah, it is.
I want Lana Del Rey to cover that song.
I can't anybody else when I think about you. Have a little effort. A little effort for the what they're paying you. Oh, she could barely be bothered.
I bet she falls asleep touching herself.
All right. We got to get out of this. We got to get out of this entire show.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
I mean, just of boredom. You know what I mean? Like, she gets started, and then she can't even finish because it's too much energy.
Will you please stop? Jennifer Lawrence, who, of course, is not only Ivanka in that Hunger Games series.
What's Katniss.
Her name? Katniss, yeah. She's got another recurring role in the X-Men franchise, of course. She plays the sexy shapeshifter Mystique. The Blue Mutant, who can change her form into duplicate anyone that she wants to.
Sounds fantastic.
It is fantastic. Entertainment Weekly says that there's a possible spin-off in the works for Jennifer's character, an entire Mystique movie.
Wow.
That would be awesome. I got a chance to see a couple minutes of the new X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out very, very soon, and I'm telling you something, this is going to be a blockbuster.
Now, this is the... You know, the Patrick Stewart, that group, and Hugh Jackman, all those guys from the X-Men. And then it's also the First Class.
Right.
They're all in it, right? It's like all eight of them.
It's a time travel story where the future has become so untenable, not only for mutants, but for regular folks, that the X-Men send Wolverine back into the past to try to alter the course of history so we don't end up with the apocalyptic future that we end
wow.
up
Wow, so we got all the old X-Men, all the new X-Men, and then some brand new X-Men to the movies,
yeah.
too.
So that's... comic book geeks are going to be in their glory for this one.
Wow.
Great news. All right, it's Tuesday. It means new releases. Here's what you can pick up if you're so inclined. Quack by Duck Sauce. Their new CD is available today. Due to the Beast by Afghan Whigs. Whigs. Talk Dirty by Jason Derulo. And Disney's got a new karaoke album of all the songs from Frozen, so all your kids could just make your brain melt with Frozen music 24 hours a day.
Now, you've learned Let It Go. Have you
I
ventured
have
into Do You Want to Make a Snowman and some of those other songs?
Sure, I've heard those.
You got them all.
Yeah.
You sing them all.
I've heard them all. The big hit at our house, though, is they used to Let It Go.
Sure.
Just Let It Go. DVDs. Here's what's available today. Philomena, the heartwarming story with Judi Dench and Steve Coogan's available. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller and Kristen Wiig. The Nut Job animated film with Will Arnett and Katherine Heigl.
Oh, nuts!
Doing voices of squirrels. Ride Along with Ice Cube and Philadelphia's own Kevin Hart. TV shows on DVD. Ripper Street Season 2 from BBC America. A lot of good stuff for your entertainment dollar today. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Maisie Williams. You know her from Game of Thrones. She's just 17 years old today. Emma Watson. Harry's... Hermione, 24. Allison Williams from HBO's Girls is 26. Seth Rogen turns 32. Patrick Carney, drummer of the Black Keys, don't you know? 34 years old. Ed O'Brien, guitarist for Radiohead's 46. And Emma Thompson, accomplished actress, writer, screenwriter, director.
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner. She can do it all. Most recently, I guess you probably have seen her in Saving Mr. Banks. Great film. 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thanks for everybody for tuning in today. We got a great show on tap for tomorrow. It's been a while since our friend Bill Maher joined us. You know, he hates getting up in the morning.
Yes.
You know, that's Bill's thing. He doesn't have to, so he doesn't.
Right.
But Bill Maher will be on and cranky tomorrow, talking about his upcoming show this Friday night at the Nokia Theater. Our old friend Adam Carolla stops by tomorrow.
Speaking of on cranky.
Jordan Guarneros, you don't know the name, but you know his character. He plays Felix on Orphan Black, which returns to BBC America this Saturday. Very excited about having Jordan in here. And Dan Backerdahl, hilarious actor. He plays Steve on FXX's Legit. He'll be joining us as well. All of that tomorrow, plus more tickets for you to be in the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space to see The Neighborhood 1 week from today. You can get more details and enter to win your tickets online, too, at krock.com.